Hello and welcome back to another episode of Gaming Services with me, Christopher, and
Olivia.
So we're trying to explain to you how to use Azure for game services. And today's talk is mainly led by you, Olivia. And
yes.
It's going to be around analytics, I think.
Yes, indeed. Well read, by the way. Yeah, so this session we are going to talk about game analytics, what it is, what the KPIs would be, or what are we actually really looking out for, and then how we can do this in Azure. So let's get started. So what is actually game analytics? So we've already covered a couple of basics beforehand in Christopher's sessions with, okay, we want to save certain states of the game. So essentially we want to, here in analytics, we want to gather as much data as there possibly is in a game with the goal of essentially improving the game. Therefore, we collect a lot of data about the player's behavior, and then to understand more, like, why is a player really behaving like that? Why is a feature actually being super popular? Or we first want to pinpoint or identify certain things that are most popular and certain things that really suck in a game. So the process of game analytics is typically that that there's a game designer thinks like, okay, yeah, I have this gut feeling, hey, this is going to be a really, really cool game. Make or design a really fun game. And then ideally you have your millions of players that play your game. So you have this peak in that curve that we've seen in the first session. And then you want to identify like, okay, which ones actually were the best features that that the players thought like, wow, this is killer awesome or pretty something like that. So you obviously want to sort of milk it and make sure that there are many more of those ones so that more and more players are going to join that game, or that the players that we have managed to attract to our game will keep on playing that game as well. And then on the other side, you obviously want to get rid of all the things that players really don't care for. So let's imagine, yeah, I know that you really love your magic swords.
I do.
Or your magic mushrooms.
Yes.
But just imagine, like, there are those magic swords in the game, but none of the players actually ever bother to buy a magic sword. Then there's no point in actually still having those magic swords in your game. That's what you pretty much do in the third step in that cycle, meaning you monitor everything, seeing like, okay, what is going on at the moment, and you want to track everything. And then all that feedback, or you have that data lake pretty much, you've collected all that data, and now what? What do you do with that data? Now you realize, okay, some features don't really work out so well, then you're supposed to actually take action out of that. So and therefore essentially just improve your game. Get rid of a couple of things, improve certain things, realize that when certain gamers always do certain things in a game, that the game would always crash. Okay, this really is not good for a game, so get rid of that one.
Yeah.
And apparently, in some game studios, there are those embedded analysts as well. So analysts, or those game analysts, are then being used to get some sanity check, because as I mentioned beforehand, game designers usually are fairly passionate, obviously, about what they are designing at the moment. And the game analysts are then taken into the decision-making process as well to figure out, okay, the thing that the game designer or that Christopher finds super fun, is that actually fun for the rest of the world, yes or not? So that's where analysts are usually coming into play as well.
I can't imagine anything that I think is fun that no one else thinks is fun, right?
Obviously, that's in your Christopher world. But we know that skiing is your thing number one. But not everyone loves skiing.
So you should include skiing in every game.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And you should have maybe like a Christopher Play Store or something. But don't worry, we are not going to go through all the text that we can see here in the slide. But here, these questions are the questions that a data scientist or a game analyst usually goes through in each of those game analytics processes. And this is just for reference, pretty much. But you can see already with the first couple of questions that it's all about money. Yeah, obviously, because although the games are supposed to be fun, as a game studio or as a game developer, designer, you still need to have some money to live on. And nowadays, you would never, or you would hardly pay for a mobile game up front. You usually just want to try out a free-to-play game first, and then later on see like, oh, okay, yeah, this game is actually really fun. And the longer you play, the higher the chances actually that you would actually make an in-app purchase as well.
Those are also things that you could figure out by doing this analytics. And apparently they're so that in Italy, people don't really like the in-app purchase thing, so they'd rather pay up front. But in other countries it might be different. So
oh yeah, so good point.
Those are things you could learn.
So yeah, this is definitely something that you would get from monitoring or that data then. But you wouldn't know that unless you've actually tracked or collected all that data. So one or a couple of the typical metrics that you would look out for in game analytics is then also to see how many concurrent users do we have. And that's sort of a no-brainer, but because you need to know how many players are playing your game just to make sure that you scale your architecture as well accordingly. So these are the must-have metrics if you start off with game analytics. And I'm just going to go through a couple of them. The first one, DAU, do you know, Christopher?
I think it stands for Daily Active User.
Well done, yes.
Thank you, I've done my homework.
Well done. Yeah, but exactly, so Daily Active Users. So yeah, obviously, we want to know how many users are playing our game on a daily basis, not on a daily basis, but today, tomorrow, and so on and so forth. Same thing with the next one, meaning MAU, Monthly Active Users. But essentially, the metric itself, or the number, how many players did we have in our game on the 1st of January 2017, the number itself is not really that useful. It's usually about the trends, so you want to collect them for every single day and then see like, oh, okay, do we see any trends that maybe towards the end of January we get more and more players, or maybe only in June there are a lot of gamers in Australia, for instance, or in Sweden, they just play throughout the whole winter because the winters are super
nothing else to do than to play games over there.
Or go skiing. Yeah, so the next one, concurrency, this is something that I've just mentioned before, and with concurrent users, or what we usually call CCU. So yeah, how many users do we have right now in that second? The next one, DAU divided by MAU, so daily active users divided by monthly active users, just to see how active how often your players are actually opening your game throughout the month, pretty much. Then the next one, this is not a division, it's ARPU, average revenue per user, or average revenue per paying user.
Say that three times in a row.
Next time. Thanks for the challenge. But here it's coming back to the money thing. We want to know, especially if it's a free-to-play game, like how much revenue are we making in general per user or per paying user. And especially with these average numbers can be misleading really quickly, because it could be very well possible that there are a lot of people not paying anything and some people paying a lot for a game, and then the average is right in the middle, so it can be a little misleading. But then here again, same thing with the daily active users and monthly active users, you want to see the trends. Do we make more money on average or less money on average? Retention, this is something that we've just discussed beforehand. So retention is often the most important metric in free-to-play games as well. It pretty much just measures the stickiness of an app. So how often how many of my players are opening that game or playing that game within a certain or within a given time period. So is Christopher opening that or gaming or playing that game again in the next 2 days, in the next 7 days, in the next 30 days? And how many of those players actually open it up again?
So you mentioned app pair. So it doesn't really, it doesn't necessarily only apply to games here.
It doesn't necessarily have
for other ones as well.
Exactly. So it could also be, it could just be BI in the in the context of gaming, pretty much. And churn is then just the opposite to retention, meaning how high is the probability that Christopher is going to just really uninstall that game in the next 7 days or in the next 30 days. And based on this one, you want to figure out, okay, is there any chance of really trying, of keeping Christopher on as like an hour player base or not?
I think if you lower the price of the magic sword, I would probably
or
stay.
If you could get some skis for free, then you would definitely stay, in that game. These are the most basic metrics that that one must have if you want to have game analytics in your game. Some more of them would be a general session metric. So the average session length, for instance, like how long are players in Sweden usually playing that skiing game compared to Germany, for instance? Or and then here again, what I mentioned before, and with average numbers, it's usually about the trends as well. Also here, the average number of sessions, again, to see some trends. The other metrics are more linked towards social media. So how high is the probability that I would install a certain game based on the fact that Christopher has installed the game or has invited everyone on his friends list, for instance. So okay, we've done the basics now of game analytics. Now the question is, how can we do it in Azure? And in the first session, Christopher has already shown some basic architecture analytics pipeline. And we are going to have a closer look at that one. And for those ones who are already knowledgeable about analytics pipelines in general, you can see that this is very similar to what you would also use in predictive maintenance, for instance, or connected car. And you can name all the like different buzz topics that you can hear of at the moment. But yeah, here you start off with the game client. So yeah, Christopher sitting there playing his skiing game. And all the data or the telemetry is being ingested by Azure Event Hub. And then it's
so
going
the,
to
so
be
the game would then send the data directly to Event Hub? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Could be sent directly to Event Hub. We were talking about this in another session before, and I think when we were talking about the saved games regarding the security features.
Oh, true.
And Event Hub is one of those ones where you can actually send in directly into Event Hub, but here, similarly to the Azure Blob Storage, the connection string to send data into the Event Hub can be given by or can be provided by an API.
Ah, good.
So this is the general architecture pipeline. Just let's take a step back first, because with analytics, you usually want to answer three different questions or three general questions. The first one being, hey, what has happened so far? We have all that data from the last 10 years or from the last month. And we want to realize, which features were really nice or well received in certain countries? Whether on average more and more players were playing a certain game or whether they were playing on average the session, the game for a longer time. Then the next question is usually what is happening right now, and there you usually think of concurrent users straight away. And then the third one is what is going to happen. So there you think of the churn rate or retention, like what do I have to do to keep Christopher as one of my key players in my game? And there are different services in Azure that would answer those three questions. The first one, with Event Hub, we've already mentioned is a telemetry ingest. This is just for collecting all the millions of events of data within per second, and then stream them into multiple applications. And this is typical. This is the typical entry point to any sort of big data architecture, because with big data, yeah, you have a lot of data that you need to deal with. And yeah, this is typical for behavior tracking or in-game capturing games. And this is like one of the nice pictures of Event Hub, which just, well, shows that you can get all the data that you want from data from different data sources or from websites or from your game itself. You can have some API management or a gateway just in front of it, but Event Hub here is central just in ingesting all the data. And then you can just pass on all the data or the events that are coming into Event Hub to then other services such as Azure SQL Database or Azure Machine or just general Azure Blob Storage or into Azure Stream Analytics.
I think I remember you can also use Event Hub not publicly facing, but also internally in your pipeline if you wanted to. Like you can enrich the data and then use it once again.
So you can actually use in Event Hub to then sort of move the data to another Event Hub, or you can have another like web job to then enrich the data that you have gathered from the Event Hub and then pass it on to like anywhere you want to actually store the data.
So it acts like a queue in some way.
Oh yeah. Okay. So Event Hub is like part of a family called Service Bus. And there are queues, topics,
and subscriptions.
but yeah, so here just focusing on Event Hub to collect all the telemetry.
It's a really fast queue.
Exactly. Or a hyperscale queue as well.
True.
The next thing, and I've mentioned it beforehand, where you can where you can move the data from Event Hub to one of the many other services. One of them is Stream Analytics. And Stream Analytics pretty much answers the question of what is going on right now. This is fully managed and an event processing engine. And the idea is, or in the gaming scenario, for instance, we want to see how many players have passed or have completed level one right now in that or in this 1 minute time window, for instance, or because your favorite example, how many players have bought or have purchased a magic sword in the last minute or in the last 10 minutes. So this is something
that could be a good indication that everything is going correct. And if you suddenly see a drop in magic swords bought or something, it could be
that would definitely
indicating some trouble.
Yeah, there would definitely be an alert for you.
Yeah, it could be an issue with the in-app purchase, but it could also be something else that we have done that made that happen. So
exactly, yeah, it's really ideal for real-time monitoring, also to see how many concurrent users do we have right now. And here in that picture, we can see like the source. So it could be Event Hub, it could also be Azure Blob Storage, because it could be some reference data that you want to join in together with the ingest stream coming in from Event Hub. Then the query itself, so what do you actually want to calculate? What do you want to aggregate? Or what do you want to compute on that sort of data stream or event stream coming in? And then where should that data then go? Which then is the sync. So here are a couple of things listed here, Azure SQL Database, Blob Storage. So it could also just, like, raw events could come in and then just be stored in Azure Blob Storage, or could then be moved to Power BI to then visualize everything. HD Insight is a fully managed Hadoop distribution on Azure. And this is usually used to crunch huge amounts of data, which then is typically stored in Azure Blob Storage. HD Insight is or the purpose of that one is to answer the question, hey, what has happened so far? Mm. Sure, there are other options where you can do streaming using Hadoop as well. Here you can, so that would be Storm. Storm is supported on Azure as well. It's just another option compared to Azure Stream Analytics. And then the question is always like, okay, so what should I use then? And really it depends on the developer himself. If you are very comfortable with Java, for instance, or if you want to do some very complex aggregations, then Storm might be the way to go. With Azure Stream Analytics, it's very easy to get started really quickly. And then there are other components, Hive, Spark, that are all being supported on Azure, and you can get started within a couple of minutes. So we've covered two questions already, what is happening right now, what has happened so far, what is going to happen fairly soon, and this is where we get into the area of machine learning or advanced analytics. And here we have a service called Azure Machine Learning. There's also another option, like you can also use Spark on HD Insight, which has a machine learning library in it, or you can also use R Server on HD Insight, where you can do your own predictive analytics too. Here, the idea of Azure Machine Learning is you have an environment that looks sort of like Visio. So I usually call it Visio for data scientists, where you can drag and drop your algorithms together, your algorithm and then your data together, and then train your model and deploy this as a web service so that you can easily integrate it or consume that web service, that machine learning web service in an Azure function way, to be honest, in Azure Stream Analytics or in Excel and so on and so forth.
So the result of using Azure Machine Learning is not a result by so, it's a function. It's a web method that I can call.
Exactly.
To get. Okay.
Correct. So here's just one screenshot of what Azure Machine Learning or what Machine Learning Studio looks like. And you can see why I think this looks fairly Visio-like. So there are a lot of modules where you can drag them into the canvas, into the main canvas, importing data from any source that you like. Like it could be Azure SQL Database, it could be Azure Blob Storage, it could be Hive Tables.
So is this like Visio? Is it supported on Macs and Linux as well, or is it downloaded?
So this is completely web-based.
Okay.
So you don't actually have to install anything, you don't have to download anything, and therefore it's sort of cross-platform because it doesn't really matter what sort of device you have. And why would you bother using Azure Machine Learning in a gaming scenario at all? It's the thing like churn model, like what are the chances of Christopher not returning to our game in the next 7 days, for instance? We've covered those three main questions, and then one thing, and I always have to think of your love of ARM templates, that everything is so nicely deployable. Here in that case, with Azure Data Factory, it's all about automation. Like you want to orchestrate certain services. So we've seen a couple of services now in that analytics space. Azure Data Factory is perfect for orchestrating and automating those services, when to do what exactly.
Oh.
So for instance, with HD Insight, to spin up an HD Insight cluster that is running for the whole day might not be so cheap. And therefore, you know that you want to, but then there's no point in having an HD Insight cluster running the whole time, because you don't necessarily run computations for the whole time either. There's only a point of running your HD Insight cluster when you actually run computations.
But if I want to run Hadoop and I want to save my data in HDFS, so Hadoop Distributed File System, how can I put data there if it's not there? If the cluster is not up and running, how can I put data?
So how it works is you have, thinking back of, we have the events coming into Event Hub. We store them in Azure Blob Storage, just to have some raw data. And this is actually where all the data is being based on when you run your HD Insight cluster. So you spin up an HDN cycle cluster and say like, okay, I want to run my computations on these data, on the data or on the storage account, on this storage account where all the relevant data is stored. So this is something like your HDFS.
Oh, cool. So I don't need Hadoop to run in order to put data in Azure HD Insight.
So you have your data there, and you can spin up your HD Insight cluster on that data when you actually want to run computations.
Okay.
So it's sort of on a per need basis, I think. So you spin up your cluster, then you can run your computations, and all the results from the computations are being stored on Azure Blob Storage again. There's an option also to store it in Azure Data Lake Store, but for now we are just going to focus on Azure Blob Storage.
Cool.
And then you can actually delete your HD Insight cluster without deleting your data. So deleting the HD Insight cluster doesn't mean your data is gone. It's all persisted in Azure Blob Storage. But then coming back to Azure Data Factory, like why were we talking about HD Insight is, for instance, we want to know the daily active users. There's no point in calculating the daily active users at 1 a.m. of the day, 2 a.m., and so on and so forth. We only want to know this at the end of the day. So then at midnight, we want to calculate or just want to do the aggregation, like, okay, how many users did we have today in our game? So you can then potentially get up at midnight, spin up your HD Insight cluster, then run a certain script to then get the daily active users and then delete the HD Insight cluster. But surely, I'm guessing you wouldn't want to get up at midnight to spin up a cluster. So this is where Azure Data Factory could play in quite nicely to say, on certain times I want to spin up an HD Insight cluster, or on certain times I want to call that machine learning web service, not every single second, only like every 3 hours, for instance.
Okay.
So this is where you would use that Azure Data Factory. And here, there are certain entities on Azure Data Factory, which first means like linked service, which is something like a pointer to where certain services or certain Azure services are. So meaning an Azure storage account, an HD Insight cluster, or Azure SQL database, and so on and so forth. Data set is where the data is specifically being stored. So in which folder structure in the Azure Blob Storage is it stored? And then activity is, well, as it implies, like what do you want
to do?
Like transform the data or just copy the data. And the visualization part, obviously, because it's one thing to have all the data stored somewhere, but in the end, you want to have some, a front end where anyone can easily read, like, okay, how are we doing with our game? And this is where Power BI comes into play. Power BI has quite a few connections, can link directly to Stream Analytics, and therefore you can see how are we doing in real time with our concurrent users. So let's have a look at one demo where in the background I have a generator going on that generates or simulates a lot of game events. Those game events, I can show them quickly, is pretty much just sending a start event or a stop event.
So start of the game or start of something else?
Starting a game.
Also players starting to play the game. Okay.
So we can see that, so there are a lot of players with their specific gamer tag, and they then start a game and then at some point stop the game as well.
Okay.
Potentially you could also send off heartbeats in between to make sure so that you can keep track whether the game has crashed with someone or not.
Oh yeah, or like on a mobile device, you might not click exit, you just press the button to go back to the main screen. Okay,
And this is the result for the real-time pipeline of of that of that analytics architecture. Here beforehand, we see a lot of like it almost looks like a stock exchange. Like, okay, the price is always going up and down.
It looks like we should buy some stocks right now because it's rising.
Yes, indeed. What it essentially shows is the different colors show the different game IDs. So hypothetically, or theoretically here in this case, we have developed 5 different games. Very imaginative, I've just used the game IDs 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. And the line itself indicates how many concurrent users do we have right now.
So that could be games, but it could be players playing on a different level or something, whatever you decided to be.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
And here it is the UTC time, so the time in the UK.
Yeah.
And then indicates exactly how many concurrent players or active sessions do we have ongoing on in that particular game. Mm. Also, if we are looking down a little, here we can also have the like how many players, how many distinct players do we have per game. So here the axis also shows the game ID. And then another session metric that we've mentioned in the very beginning, the average duration, average session length here in this case per game. We could also do this like average session length per day. Whatever you quite like to do. One thing that I want to point out with Power BI is the Q&A option. So what you could do is ask in a fairly intuitive way. So a num active session per country, for instance. And then you first get some diagram where you can see, so there are a lot of people in Germany who are playing there. If we look for Sweden, not so great. But especially since it's these are countries, how about a different visualization? So we can do as a map.
Oh, cool.
So we see them in like bubbles. But then I think a nicer visualization is if we fill the map according to how many
active
sessions we have. So the darker the color, the more active sessions there are.
Cool.
We can also do like per city and then zoom in a little.
Can I have it like as percentage? I want to figure out like where my players are playing most, like as a pie.
Sorry, say that again.
Can I have it as a pie graph to see like the percentages between the countries?
A pie graph, yeah.
Pie chart.
You can as a pie chart, which is not really recommended, to be honest. Pie charts usually are like the visualizations you shouldn't really go for.
Okay.
To be honest,
but these are the cities.
The cities we can also do per country. China, India, and Germany are fairly high up.
But and it would give you a good overview, like still China, and then you could switch to the to the map.
It could. And then after that, you can also pin it to the dashboard itself that you have beforehand. So if we exit the Q&A mode and go down a little,
here we have the
world map with the filled countries.
Cool. So that is Stream Analytics doing that right now?
Pretty much. So the question is, how does Power BI actually get all the data? And this is being streamed by Stream Analytics. And here, what I forgot to mention actually is the query that you can write in Stream Analytics is in a SQL-like language. So it's one of the main reasons why it's so easy to get started. And here, in this case, I'm trying to find out how many active sessions are going on right now. And this is one way of doing a nested question, like, okay, active sessions. And here, in the end, I decide where it actually flows into. on the one hand, I want to store everything in blob storage. On the other hand, I want to actually stream it straight into Power BI. So yeah, that is one aspect that I wanted to point out.
Very cool.
The reason why I was talking a lot about Azure Data Factory, HD Insight, and then also Azure SQL Database is mostly that these are things that you want to take care of for the cold path. So cold path meaning what has happened so far. And this is being taken care of here in Nether in our open source game initiative as one of the building blocks. And Christopher will like to hear it. This is all deployable as an ARM template as well. So like very easy to get started as well.
Cool. Thank you very much, Olivia. So to recapture what we talked about today, we talked about gaming and the importance of using analytics to understand what's happening in our games in order to make games better and earn more money and keep our players playing the game. You talked about some of the services in Azure. So we talked about the ingest part with Events Hub, and then you said there's a stream analytics part that could answer queries like, what's going on right now? You talked about HD Insight, that is Hadoop on Azure that would help us figure out what has happened in the past. You mentioned machine learning, like the future thing, figuring out what's going to happen in the future. Am I still going to be playing that game for the next 5 minutes or 5 hours or 5 days? We said that some of these ideas are already captured inside what we call Nether, the open source initiative that we have on GitHub. Please join us there. We are going to, as a teaser, we are going to do more sessions around specifically Nether, how to get started using Nether, how to interact with it, and how to customize it for your needs. Any last words for you?
Thank you for watching.
Thank you very much.